Following podcast contains profanity and is unsuitable for a child-friendly or work environment.
Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to War Master Podcast, episode 154 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Today, Demon Army Review. We were supposed to do it last Saturday.
Yeah, say why we didn't, Barry. Yeah, say why.
So what happens is, I'm supposed to end the meeting by stopping the recording and then starting a new recording.
Yes.
And instead, I pressed end meeting because I'm a klutz. And then what that happened was that the Zoom automatically then starts encoding the stuff that I've already recorded. And if I press cancel, it loses the recordings.
Yep.
So I had no choice but to leave Zoom to do its encoding. And that meant that we couldn't record because it was already about 10:30 when we finished.
And that would take too long. So Barry's fat northern fingers got in the way of progress yet again.
And fat northern brain. But that means that we get a week to talk about stuff that we wouldn't have talked about. So, for example, we can kick off by talking about a couple of little bits that I found in the week before we talk about Paul's.
Don't go.
And we're going to let me open them up in the old share screen of Doom. So let's talk about this first. This first, right? So we're going to share computer sound, not that it really matters, and we'll share screen too. Can you see him? Can you all see him, sir?
Yeah, what's that? Wow. What? I haven't seen this. What is that?
What exactly? What is that?
What is that? It looks like a haunted house.
It is a haunted house. And could you imagine what game system this is for?
A Joan of Arc?
This is for War Machine.
Oh, for War Machine. Oh, well, of course. Out of scale. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Right. Yeah, it's massive then, that model. Okay, I thought I was looking at a small model.
No, so that is going to be a battle engine.
Is that for Grimkin?
Grimkin, which, to be honest, when the Grimkin came into the game, it's like, well, where is this game going? Come on now.
So hang on. How does that move?
Well, have you not seen Scar on a boat?
What?
There's a Warcaster epic Scar on a boat.
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, same as a fucking boat moves, I guess. So this is cool. As a sculpt, you look at it and go, it's going to be resin, mainly, I guess, with a few metal bits. It's awesome. Look at it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, yeah.
But is this a game? Is this kind of doing what GW are doing with their fantasy nonsense? It's like, how does this fit with, like,
IP.
War Machine and Hordes.
Yeah.
This.
I mean, you would not look at that and think it was a War Machine Hordes model, would you?
Well, not if you went back in time and saw, like, War Machine Hordes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you showed that in Mark 1, this is the future of the game, would anyone believe you?
No. What? On the sides of the bases, on 120 mil base?
Yeah. Here's where this game's going, baby. Like
120 mil base with bare-ass gremlins climbing out of windows.
Yeah.
The painting is incredible. Like the door, the mouth, the colorized kind of earth and the kind of lighting and stuff.
Yeah, it's good. It's very nicely done.
Very nicely done. Yeah. They do their painting very well.
Yep.
So I saw that. I thought, God, I've got to talk about this. This is not the game that I used to press gank for. Look at the state of that.
Have you got a picture of the flying fox? If you want bad models, yeah, like the. You suppose you wouldn't have it set up, would you? The latest high elf AOS thing.
Oh, well, that was the other thing I wanted to share. No, but I'll find it and I'll pull it out in a minute. Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know the one you're talking. What does the fox say?
It's like, what is that?
Did we not talk about in the last episode? I think we might have talked about.
No, we didn't talk about the flying fox.
With the because
that hadn't appeared yet, the flying fox.
Here we go. You see this fella?
Heroes of the Chapter. This I've heard this. This has got some madness of its pricing, hasn't it?
So these are eight Space Marines on a single sprue. Now these sprues, if we're playing bolt action, you can pick up a sprue for £5. A full sprue.
Hang on. No, that's a squad of five intercessors and three. That's three characters at the front, isn't it? Two lieutenants and a chapter ancient. They're not on the same sprue.
I'll show you the sprue in a minute.
Oh, okay. They redesigned the sprue.
Right. So I'll show you the sprue. £45 for yeah. eight Space Marines. Yeah. £45.
I mean, the five at the back are your mooks, or your line infantry. Yeah, like you've
probably got. They've probably got some fancy diddles on the bolt rifles, some little purity symbols, or whatever they call. I don't know.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
So let's see if we can find the. Let's see if we can find the sprue, and then you can tell me if I, because this is what the Darren said. It's all on there, isn't it?
Oh, okay. So that sprue is £45 from GW.
A single fucking sprue.
Yeah, I did see there was like, and a couple of the channels I follow, it did say the pricing madness of this one was crazy.
Well, where will it stop? Where will it stop?
Where will it stop? Where will it stop?
If you think about like, what is the? All right, there might be slightly more sculpting costs. All right, let's play fair. There might be slightly more sculpting costs involved. But the tooling costs and the production costs are probably identical between and a bolt action.
They just put the sprues together.
Yeah, they get your metal. You get your metal mold, and you get this injection casting. It's the production costs and molding costs are identical. Mm-hmm. So slightly more, and then you've turned something like almost 10 times more expensive than a competitor's version.
Yeah. It's true.
Where will it end?
And people will buy that.
Sometimes I think about the stuff I produce and go like, is it too expensive? Is it too expensive? Like £9 for 918 mil ogres. And then I look at this and go, how can mine be too expensive? Look at this.
So this sprue of Greek hoplites came free on the latest copy of War Games Illustrated.
This is another warlord job, is it?
Yeah. So this is this was free.
How many men on it?
Eight.
Same. All right. Okay. So if they were selling that, they'd probably sell it for a fiver.
Well, they gave it away for free.
Yeah, but they're giving it away. But the production costs are obviously negligible. Once it's all tooled up, that plastic probably costs like 20 pence or something.
Well, this sprue is just as busy as that sprue that you've got on screen. Yeah.
So would you collect 28 mil hoplites? Because that's why they're giving them away, isn't it? It's like to get you in. The first hit's free, and then you've got to come back for more.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in a £5 magazine or £5.75 or whatever it is, this was free. I mean, it's quite a markup, isn't it, really?
Yeah, but where will it end? Where will it end? What's he called?
You have to go onto the Games Workshop website.
I don't know its name.
I do not know its name.
Like, I don't even know what they're called anymore. They're not even called High Elves.
Luminefs of Hush. Luminarchs. You'll find it. And it's the Forces of Order. You'll find it. Go into factions. Yeah.
You put in High Elves and it brings up Middle Earth now.
Yep.
Because they. I guess they're still called elves in the Middle Earth.
Yes, they are still called elves, yeah.
So what alliance are they in? This is what I can't be doing with.
Good.
Order. Well, good. There's no good.
Order.
Lumineth Realm Lords?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah,
obviously. Obs.
That's what I said.
It's not. Is it going to be here? Or is it
going to be there?
It's not there.
Is it not there? Never mind.
Right, you tell them about Paul's World. I'll go and find... What did the fox say?
Well, it's,
so are you going to collect those hoplites in 28 mil?
Well, no, but it was like, it just was, what my point is, it was free.
Like, you should offer it to a listener. So if anybody wants Paul's hoplites, contact Paul and he'll send them to you. Because otherwise they're just going in a box to never be used.
Well, I might.
What are you going to do with them? Come on, what are you going to do with them?
Ancient Greek hoplites, hang on, what? Immortal miniatures. So they're immortal miniatures that made in England. So an English company called
That's not Warland then. That's
immortal.
Not
it's not Warland. Immortal miniatures. Yeah, there's a website here. So I'll see how much these things are RRP, and then I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, Warlord Games purchases mortal miniatures.
Oh, there you go. And gives away shit for free.
Copyright Immortal Miniatures produced by Warlord. Yeah, Warlord.
Yep.
Well done, fellas. Right, so I've got to go find the fox. What's that community site, isn't it? Warhammer
community.
Right. Show us what shit you're painting, Paul. Because obviously, mm-hmm. the devoted listeners and viewers, they can't have more than about, 14% of your attention.
What's your problem?
For the 1 hour a week. Well, I don't paint, do I? What am I going to do? I've got to start, like, reading a book. reading a magazine. Well,
it doesn't stop me. It doesn't stop me engaging with you, does it?
No, if you like.
Like, what's your point?
There's no point. It's free.
If you'd allowed this to be face to face, I wouldn't be doing this. Would
allowed it to be face against the law, man.
I'm doing 28 mil Napoleonics. I'm down to the last two French battalions. That's it. Then it's like, then that original list I penned is done. So I might also do some casualty models as well, because they look quite cool. Yeah. I couldn't help myself with when I picked up this magazine from Warlord, like, they have free posters at £20. So I also picked up a unit of French dragoons. Oh, yes. But got to have some dragoons. Like, it's weird. It's the painting, the 28th Napoleonics has invigorated me. Like, I would have thought it would have been such a slog to get through it all. I'd be like, never again. But actually getting over halfway and displaying the models up there as my current project on the go and adding to it has actually really motivated me. I mean, I'm loving painting this stuff now.
I'm loving it.
It's weird. It's had the opposite effect on me, which is quite cool.
I wish I could find. All I can find is Teclis riding whatever.
You can't do it. You can't do it, can you, Barry? Just gotta leave it. I mean, it'd be in my messages to you, won't it? Because I sent it to you.
Oh, maybe I can fish it out of that. Then.
Yeah.
So, have you done any gaming this week?
Many gaming.
You done any gaming, sir, this week? Any?
No, surprisingly. Yeah, I've done a lot of.
You did Cards Against Humanity because we were supposed to.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so I went online and did a Cards Against Humanity, online game with some friends, which, I mean, was all right, wasn't it? Oh, there it is. So you want to go back to the 23rd of January in our messenger group? Me messaging to you, and there it is. In fact, look, I can even hold it up for you. There it is.
We'll get a better picture. You send a message to me.
I'll send it to you again.
Yeah, that would make much more sense than it would just be here, wouldn't it?
It will be here. So in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
See how long it takes. It's here. I mean, that is the power of technology. Mm-hmm. That it's here already. Mm-hmm. Right, let's share that bad boy. Oh my God almighty. Oh God. Are you sure we haven't talked about this fella?
No, we haven't. No, because he came out after the last time.
Are you sure?
We're sure. Yeah. Because
your memory's garbage.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But
no, it really is. You're like one of those old people that tells the same story 3 times a day.
Oh, really? Oh, well. Never mind.
So this fella here is a joke. This is a complete and utter joke.
Uh-huh.
How many of those purity seals has this idiot got on? He's got them everywhere. He's got them hanging off his collar. He's got them off his. He's got them off his arms.
I mean,
off
what
his
horns? What even is that?
Why has he got two sets? He's got ears and then horns in front of the ears. Those are ears at the back, aren't they? Behind your horns.
Yeah. But what even is he? What is he? I don't know what he is. Like.
He's a fox, isn't he? What? Because look at his tail. He must be a fox.
He's a fox.
But what? Look, he's got bracelets around his ankle.
Yeah.
With ribbons coming off them.
Yep.
And the arrow's got flames coming off it. But the flames are blowing in a different direction to the ribbons that are blowing.
I mean, it's quite an impressive rack of arrows he's got behind him, hasn't it? Really. Like,
are they all joined together? Are they all joined together? Why are they all in a line? Is it a machine gun ammo? it's an abomination of a thing.
So against that, we'll call it the flying fox. Is you put up your Skaven slave of a stick?
How many points is this flying fox? And how many pounds? It can't be another £100 model. It can't be. I don't know.
But it seems to me like, I think your Skaven Slave of a Stick would struggle to hurt this one.
Really? I mean,
how's the Skaven Slave of a Stick even meant to hit him, right, with his stick? He's up in the air. Like, how's he going to reach?
He could climb up the ribbons or whatever. I mean, like, those things that I thought, they're actually, if you look from the ground where it connects to the model, they're actually ribbons. It's on, like, the long, jaggedy ribbons.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this thing? How have they got to this point, honestly? How are we at this point?
I don't know. I mean, it's it's strange, because in the same preview that came out, yeah, with all these models, it also had the latest Warhammer Underworlds warband, and that's a pre-feature. And that's a vampire warband, and they look fantastic. Yeah, they do. So it's like GW, obviously, it has different groups of designers working on different things, and it is obviously capable of doing some outstanding work. But this is outstanding.
But why the whole? I mean, if you compare the models that we saw, the Privateer Press one, I mean, as wonky as that is, I mean, it's a much better model than this, really.
Okay.
You don't think so? The Slaughterhouse?
The Haunted House? Well, no, I think, I mean, are you trying to look at it subjectively in terms of, is the model well designed?
Or just like, as a cool looking model?
I mean, I guess...
You think this is a cool looking model? This crazy flying fox?
It looks terrible, but it doesn't, like a haunted house is, you can imagine in your head what a haunted house looks like. Some weird looking flying fox Japanese demon thing, like, to me, I don't know, I've not a frame of reference what it should look like, if you follow. Like, at least a haunted house is grounded, like, okay, I can imagine what a haunted house would look like.
Right, I'm going to start picking now, because I'm getting cross. The more I look at this and these preposterously large horns, if you look at the arrow, the bowstring, it's going inside his gauntlet, so when he shoots the fucking thing, it's going to tear.
No, it's gone behind his gauntlet.
Yeah, so it's going to shoot down his arm. The string's going to rip down his arm.
Oh, well.
It's inside, surely. Yeah. It should be outside the gauntlet.
But maybe when you're hovering 20 feet above the air, it doesn't matter.
Maybe the gauntlet's not really there. It's just like a hollow gauntlet, a hologram. What a pile of crap. You shouldn't share it. It's like,
angers your northern blood, doesn't it?
It's nothing to do with being North. If you had no skin in the game of the old world, you could probably pass this off and just go, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, fly fox. Yeah. But if you've been doing this game for 30 years or whatever, How is this even a high elf? What about this?
You don't look at that and you think high elf. I guess its colours are like, if it's...
The blue and white, blue and gold,
yeah. But that's it. You would not look at that and say, oh, that's a high elf model. Yeah, like...
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue what bloody model it is. Anyway, it's fun to bring these things up just to kind of get some bile off your stomach.
Get some rage on.
Get some gammon on. Right, so let's crack on, otherwise we'll be here forever. Right, main topic. Demon Army review.
Demon Army.
Have you got your thing then?
I have it all here in front of me.
Oh, crack on. Mm-hmm. I'll get a book, so I can read or something.
Yeah, yeah. All right, okay.
Go get a drink, go get a snack.
So what do you want me to do first?
Well, you've got the fluff bit, haven't you?
Oh, the fluff bit. Okay, right, one sec.
So you don't have the book. The book that you said was everything was to hand, everything's here, I have it all. Oh, the book.
this thing.
Oh, I don't have that. No.
I don't have that. Okay. Let's find out. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, all right. You want me to do the fluff again? I'll do the fluff again.
What do you mean again?
Well, we did them all originally. Right, demons.
Like 100 episodes ago. You think people are still listening?
Shut up. Right. The world is awash with unseen magic that comes from dark dimensions between time and space. It was introduced into the world when the great interspatial gateway of the old ones collapsed, creating a rift in space and spewing magically volatile warp matter all over the whole planet. Magic is malleable energy that can be harnessed and wielded, but the very act of doing so reshapes and changes everyone and everything it comes into contact with. Whether used for good or ill, magic is ultimately corrupting and dangerous. Ooh. The ancient gateway continued to leak raw magic from the dark dimensions to this day. The dark dimension is home to things of an altogether different order of mortal creatures. Those are not living creatures of flesh, but a network of ethereal forces whose consciousnesses continually flow and interchange. Individuality and linear thought are meaningless concepts in the dark dimension. In that timeless space, spaceless nothingness, there is only endless being, a single moment extending all through eternity. Just as magic pollutes and disfigures the material world, so the dark dimension is reshaped by the world of mortals. Through thought, through ambition, emotion, and other gross forms of individual consciousness leak from the material universe. The focused consciousness overwhelms and transforms the naturally guileless intelligence of the dark dimension. It becomes aware, it coalesces into a kind of distinct consciousness. Things stir in the dark dimension. Gods, demons, and spirits are made manifest in the stuff of the warp. Reshaped in turn by these newly created consciousness, other lesser beings are created, and so goes on. Thus are the gods of the old world and the bitterest agents of man's own destruction, self-created from the terror of mankind itself. There may be 1,000 gods or 1,000,000 aspects of a single deity. It matters little. The demon armies of chaos constantly reshape and reform in the face of man's ever-shifting fears. Most of all, men dread the elemental horrors of life, and those are represented by the four great gods of the Marauder tribes of the north. They are worshipped under many names and in many guises, but in the lands of the south, they are recognized by those who dare pursue such studies as the great powers of Khorne, the blood god, Tzinch, the changer of ways, Nurgle, the plague god, and Slaanesh, the lord of pleasure. These are the great gods of chaos, of which all other gods are but part or conjunctions. In the lands of the Empire, many a theologist has been burned for saying as much. There you go. That's the fluff of demons. Basically, it's hell. You know, like, the warp is hell. You know, like, it's, you know, what, you know, that is what goes on there. You don't want to end up there. Yeah. Aside from that, so, I mean, I do like with the fluff of demons and the powers of chaos, etc. It is. What's your favorite chaos god? Like, what's your of the four archetypes?
Probably Nurge, isn't it? No,
you like Nurgle. You like Nurgle.
Yeah. You get your pox and your bile and your guts hanging out, all that kind of fat.
Slaanesh for me. Slaanesh.
Slaanesh with the tits out. Yeah.
Well, just that Andronagus, like, as in the enemy within. Like, yeah. I always thought
it's got nothing. You think of, if you ask 10 people what they think of when they see Slaanesh, it's like, yeah, nipples,
nipples, naked ladies,
pleasure.
Well, it's like, yo, like, what's that? Like, so Khorne is a bit two dimensional because it's all about war for the sake of war.
What's the second dimension? Just one dimension, isn't it? Just
it's an expression. All right, Khorne's a bit simple. Like, because, you know, what it is. Dzinch is, yeah, if you love your magic, that's Dzinch. Though they're all magic, obviously, but they're the magical demons. The fact that Khorne hates magic when their all stuff is made of magic is a bit weird. Nurgle's your plagues, all right, and then Slaanesh is your pleasure, is your, like, you know, and, yeah, I like Slaanesh.
I like that Slaanesh.
You know, it's like,
I think they've had to tone down Slaanesh now, haven't they? You're not
massively nipples. From what it used to be. Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's not really PC anymore, those looks. Yeah, like, especially what, like, so your corner, like, blood letters, just general, generic looking angry demons. Nurgle had your, you know, rotting plague bearers. Dzinch had whatever it had, like, blue horrors.
Flyers, horrors. And...
Yeah. And then Slaanesh had, like, kind of suit nate claw armed women, didn't it?
Yeah,
like,
crab women.
I get the clamps.
I've never understood why they had crab arms. It's like, no, I mean, they kind of lost their attraction to me, even as pretty as they were on the torso with the crab arms.
It's just to make them lethal, I guess, without needing weapons. Yeah. Anyway, my point is like, with Slaanesh, you could always make cool cultists models, and what GW's done recently, it looks like there's some fantastic Slaanesh cultists, etc. And it's like, they, yeah, that's cool. It's like perversions. Anyway, that's that. Yeah, let's go into the army.
Right, so I'm just going to pull up the, let's print and let's get the special, the stats for these guys, and then we'll share it across. Right, so we're going into the Demon army list.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, one thing that strikes me about these fellas is there's a lot of 5+ armor, and I don't know if that was done as some way to kind of shoehorn in the fact that they used to have all kinds of saves, didn't they? They'd have the regular saves, and they'd have ward saves and all kinds of saves.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is always the problem of balancing an army, which inherently is magic, has always been a massive issue, isn't it? Is in terms of like, how do you ground them in any kind of reality or like, or what? Yeah, exactly. So they used to be really too good in Warhammer, basically. Your average demon, like, didn't suffer from psychology, caused psychology, certainly caused fear, like, might be frenzy and terror as well. And they always had, because they were hard to get rid of, because they were demon, magic, they just had ward saves.
I think the ward save was always, I mean, Savage Orcs have ward save, but it was only ever 6+.
Yeah.
I think these guys used to have quite sizable ward
saves. Oh, yeah, like, at least 5+, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Yeah. Which is a pain in the arse, because you couldn't get around it.
No, no.
And I think it used to come after your regular save. You used
that's
to
right, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then
so
a ward save.
Yeah, yeah, so if they had armor on, there was a conventional armor, they would get that save. Then the ward save, which isn't modified. They stuck around. And if you had ways of, you know, growing back demons at all, it was like, well, there you go. That's your tactic.
Which is, I guess, they were cautious not to make the same mistakes. So
I think genuinely, the demon list pre-revolution and after revolution is, to me, the best representation of demons in a game system in terms of like it actually gets it right. I think because the potential for it being so wrong could have been so easily. Yes, and how do you compare these troops to other things? Because obviously everything is, even in its unit entries, you know, it's demon hordes. It's not an individual to god type.
That's
really good. It's like lesser demons, greater demons. You know, like right.
So let's talk about the army rules, because they have got two.
Yep.
The first one's a real, absolutely enormous buff.
Oh yeah, massive. Ignore terror
as a whole army. That's kind of like on par with your undead troops, but you have initiative, so you've got the positive of undead troops in that you ignore terror.
Yep.
But no negative because you still got initiative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all the units ignore the -1 attack penalty in combat for fighting terrifying troops. You cannot frighten them at all.
So your terrifying characters might bring extra attacks, but they ain't causing any terror. So I'm not losing any attacks.
No, and that's in Warmaster. That's huge.
That is huge, but they have a downside.
Yes, I mean this is where it's key to the army. So demonic instability at the start of the player's own command phase before making any initiative moves. All demon units that have taken at least one casualty, i.e., lost a stand out of 3, must take a demonic instability test. Roll a d6 on the unit has lost 2 stands and deduct 1 from the roll. So it's either d6 or d6-1, and you know 0 to 1. You get a stand is destroyed. The demons fade away and absorb back into the realm of chaos from which they came. Remove 1 stand from play. If the character of your unit was the last stand is removed, the character is also destroyed.
Ouch.
And becomes confused and is torn between this world and the next. So it's buggered, basically. It's like your 2 stands have gone to 1 or your 3 stands have gone to 2. No, sorry, you wouldn't have that. Your 2 stands have gone to 1 or your 1 stand's disappeared. That's it. 4 to 5. Yeah, sorry?
So the reason it says, it's not kind of highlighted very well, but the reason it says at the end here the stand becomes confused, because there is only the choice to either be 1 stand left or nothing left. So that even though it should be capital,
Barry, you notice there's no entry for 2 and 3. A glitch on the website.
Yeah, I think it's a glitch on here. The 2 and 3 is
it is in there. Yeah, so 2 and 3, the unit becomes confused,
right?
So from the where the words say so in 2 and 3 in the book, the unit becomes confused, if not already confused. The stand becomes confused, is torn between this world and the next. So after destroyed 2. Yeah.
Destroyed 2.
Those 3 lines there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, 4 and 5, no effect. Unless they're confused, then they stop being confused. And number 6 is a bit of a plus and minus, unfortunately.
So the unit feels the power of the gods. As a result, its attacks the closest enemy within initiative range. If there is no enemy in initiative range, the unit ignores command penalties for the lost stand until its next turn.
So if you are within 20 centimeters of something,
yep,
and you're only one stand and you weren't going to charge that thing, you're going to initiative fling.
Well, you that can't, if one stand can't do it, can they, Barry? Because that's a result.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Six,
so
yeah.
Two stands. Oh,
yep.
Yes, two stands could charge something they didn't potentially want to charge.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But you kind of lose a little bit of control over that. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, yeah, you don't, you're not any better at fighting. You just automatically initiative charge. But then if you haven't got that that option, yeah, ignoring destroyed stand for command penalty is not a bad thing. But yeah, if it, essentially with demonic instability, the best result is you don't get any worse. You know, it's like that is
four or five. You want four or five.
Only negative things happen. Either you stay the same or negative things happen with your demons when they say
casualty. If you roll four or five, you lose confusion, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So, but if you roll six, you have to charge on initiative.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you roll four or five, you can still choose to charge on initiative.
Yes.
So six is kind of a negative because six costs me control of my unit.
Yeah.
In the same way as a giant. Whereas if it was four or five, I'd lose confusion and I could choose to initiative charge if I wanted to or not.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's a weird, the table, I don't think the table's in its final form. And
no.
I think that's the fourth version of the bloody table.
Yeah.
So, I mean, originally, I think if you rolled a six, you got a stand back. And
yes,
if you rolled
right.
a one, the unit just evaporated.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Even if it was two stands, it just went, the whole unit.
It blinked out of existence, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was just like crazy. It was like playing Russian roulette instead of playing War Master. bizarrely, we're going to talk about the infantry choices are minimal to say the least. And if you say, you know, all these different types of chaos infantry, demon infantry, they've got like Slaanesh and this.
Four
you've
powers.
Got two types. That's it. You've got little dudes and bigger dudes, and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like the ultimate in minimalist.
Yeah. So, this is why. I think this demon list is really good in terms of design because it does that. You know, it just narrows it down. It just smashes it into, you know, like little categories, you know, of roughly man size, smaller than man size, bigger than man size. So your demon hordes, your core infantry, are that magic profile of 4-3-5 for 75 points, minimum 3, maximum 0. But this is obviously a 4-3-5 that ignores terror.
Sorry, my kids are printing, so I'm just trying to mute while they print. They'll probably appear at the door in a minute saying, can I get the printing? Anyway, so these guys are as good as it gets in my book.
Yeah.
4-3-5 up, 75 points. They do have a negative in that they're instability.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is a profile you can't give out without thinking seriously.
Yeah.
Like the Lizardmen where it's based on. They have this profile, but they can only be ordered 20 centimeters.
Yeah, they've got quite a few
command issues. So, but yeah, I take quite a few of these, non-surprisingly.
Yeah. So in a 2,000-point list, you're going to have six units. Some builds will remain at six. Others would go really, really hard with that. We'd take more of them. Your demon swarms are your infantry choice with two attacks, four hits, no armor, 45 points, minimum nothing, maximum four, and a special of one, which is they can't be driven back by shooting, do not roll for drive backs, and cannot be given magic items. Magic items isn't a big deal because I can't see you ever would give them a magic item. But
a banner of shielding.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, like, so that's not really anything because who would do that? But not being driven back by shooting. So they have a place in the list in terms of they've got four hits. So if something's got to catch cannons, it might as well be these guys.
Rather these guys than something else. Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, because with their four hits, they're as good as anything else at catching cannons, better than your demon hordes, better than things that are more expensive than them at catching cannonballs. So you'd need a few units to screen your troops, and they can always support. Yeah, they're not penalized.
They're as good as anything.
Yeah.
I mean, even ogres catch, they've only got four hits, but but they can be driven back. These guys can't even be driven back.
Yeah.
They want to catch that cannonball. Come on, shoot me.
So, a lot of builds would have, two, three
couple of units
of swarms dotted around and then in a game where they aren't going to catch cannonballs, you could hide them or use them as support troops. You know, they do that as just as strong. So we move on. Demonic cavalry, 435 for 110 points, and with no. So basically, they're paying a difference of.
They're boar boys.
Yeah. No, just of the infantry. So they upgrade to cavalry compared to the infantry for what is it?
35 points.
35 points. Yeah, they get the cavalry profile. They get cavalry. So it's based better, and you know all the bonuses that cavalry give them.
I think the minimum price is about 30 points for cavalry to become cavalry realistically.
Yeah.
So the weird anomaly, the weirdest anomaly is the fact that they have cavalry and hounds and chariots.
Yeah.
And they're all a bit merged into one. They're all a bit samey, aren't they? What really is the difference in all these?
So as we go on, so your demonic hounds, your 335 profile for 90 points with no rules, and then your demonic chariots, your 335, 95 points, but obviously they've got the chariot rule. They're a chariot. So what is the difference there between the two is that the chariots will get an extra +1 attack on the charge in the open. Now, personally, I think that buff should be 10 points rather than 5, personally.
You'd find it difficult for me to argue with that when that is the same kind of cost that dark elf ones have to pay.
Yeah,
but they get to fight. But to be fair, they get to do that every turn, and it costs more than 10 points.
Yes. To change that in the rules with the rules committee would be a big, you know, major change because it would affect a lot of lists. A lot of lists with chariots. So basically, the change would be proposal: all chariot units go up 5 points.
Good luck with that, sir. But
no, I mean that's what it would take because you couldn't change it in some and not others.
I think it would be easier to try and change the 335 cavalry. There are only four books that have that in four lists.
Yeah,
because that's the real problem. It's not necessarily that chariots aren't worth 95 points. It's that the cavalry aren't worth 90 points.
Yeah.
By comparison. But people have said if you use a lot of linear obstacles and things that
chariots
exactly. can't go into, then it may make a difference. But we don't tend to use many linear obstacles.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that has been mooted, countered on the committee. And you have to say fair play. Yeah, all right. That is true. They can't cross walls and things. And if you do have a table with walls on them, they can't do it. So, all right.
Or streams. I think streams is another example of things they can't cross.
Yeah. So
I don't know
why
that is.
So, perhaps in the future, we need to start doing tables that have linear obstacles on them.
Yeah. Or sappers, and then we can build a bridge, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a case then as a tournament organizer to make sure there's a few bits of linear obstacles on every table then.
Than to give those cavalry something to do that chariots can't.
Well, yeah, but also to tap into a rule of the game that is there and is barely used because of table layout. So
The infantry would still get defended, so it's not a give me.
No,
it would mean that those cavalry could do something that those chariots cannot do something.
Yeah, it might look a bit weird because you'd have like. I mean, what is a linear obstacle going to be? It's like it'll be a wall, isn't it? So you're going to have like stretches of walls across the table that aren't connected to anything. That just look just a random wall there, but they have a game purpose. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that would what it have to be. You don't want a table that's completely full of walls, like
no,
like hundreds of walls, but you have to provide some differentiation. Ideally, if this was my list and I was starting from scratch, which we're not, because we are where we are, I'm not sure the demon hounds shouldn't just be like chaos hounds and be limited in number. Because I think you only get 2 per 1,000 anyway, so it's hardly like game-breaking. Why are they 2 per 1,000 and the chariots and cavalry 3 per 1,000? It doesn't really make any sense to me. It's just kind of cobbled together.
When it was originally done. You're right. I don't know where the reasoning behind there.
I don't think the reasoning still exists. I think it was something from 15 years ago or whatever it was.
Exactly.
So if they could lose their armor and become like chaos hounds, but they've got their own issues because they're cheap and dirty.
Yep. And in this case, you'd have hounds that, like, chaos hounds that are immune to terror,
but also evaporate when they take damage.
No, I suppose, yeah.
And they tend to take damage.
That's one interesting
thing when you play demons. If somebody pings a standoff, you just kind of shrug your shoulders. Mm. But over the course of a game, unless you can heal that back, that unit will take care of itself.
Yeah.
If you roll badly, it'll become like half a point break you're giving away, and suddenly a full broken break you're giving away. Mm-hmm. So losing a stand or two early in the game could be really
irritating. I could definitely get behind voting to make them a Chaos Hound profile. Yeah, definitely.
We'll see. Yeah. Not for this year. Maybe
not for this year. Yeah, no. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what's next?
Demonic beasts, monster, and every sense of the word monster. 5/4/5, 3 stands, 220 points, minimum Jesus nothing, Christ. Maximum 1. No rules, no special rules. So you've got that's a monster stand. So that's short based. 5 attacks, 7 on the charge in the open. These guys hit hard.
The problem with this game is there's a lot of bits that are in one list that don't quite equate to something in another list.
Yeah.
So what we've done here is, for example, we've traded off an extra hit, mm-hmm. An extra attack for the armor of a Chaos Knight. But we've got the monster rule as well, so that's cost us 20 points extra. But these aren't 30-centimeter movers. They're 20-centimeter movers. So when you're sending them in, unless it's on initiative, they're always going to have a negative for enemy near. The same. They're exactly the same as Rhinox Riders. Exactly the same profile.
Yeah.
But these are monsters, and Rhinox Riders are cavalry. So mm-hmm. probably these are overcosted, realistically.
Yeah, 220 seems a lot, doesn't it? A lot of points.
But even if you could get them down to, say you could move them down a little bit, like to 200 or something, mm-hmm. is probably more reasonable, because they are still monsters, and that means you can do things that other things can't do.
Because I think that cavalry in the list are 110, so a unit of demonic beasts is exactly two cavalry units. I think you get more work out of the two cavalry units, personally.
Oh, by miles. Because nobody's fighting these things. Yeah. I played Phil in the week, and I was using Beastman. I should have talked about this on the podcast because it was Warmaster game. Yeah. I played Beastman, my league list, and he played demons, a better demon build without a greater demon. And he had a unit of beasts, and I told him at the beginning of the game, I will not fight that unit. I will not fight.
Yeah.
Because what's the point? What am I going to put against this thing that it doesn't matter if I charge you, I'm still losing.
Yep. So what did you do? You just never engaged it?
Never engaged them. Just played the game. They went down the center as they would, and I went down the wings and won the game on the wings.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so...
Because they're too good, aren't they? They're too big. They're too...
Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to fight them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your demonic flyers is a monster for 2 attacks, 3 hits, and 5 up armor. 80 points, and special rule 2, demonic flyers, they can fly. Demonic flyers are exceptional conventions for basic monsters, and they go the long way. So they're long-edge-based guys.
These are completely bizarre. I don't know. All of the flyers are 6-up armor or no armor. They got 5-up armor again for just some random reason. Mm-hmm. What armor have Pegasus Knights got? They got 5-up, haven't they? They're the only other thing.
Flyers with 5-up armor is them and Pegasus Knights, yeah.
And I think Pegasus Knights are quite a bit more than this, but these guys are... Pegasus Knights are face properly, but I have impetuous rules. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they're a bit strange. I don't know why they were templated like they were. They could have just been harpies, I guess, or something, and a bit cheaper. Because the armor doesn't make that much difference on 3 hits. If you get charged...
It's like they're still going to take casualties, aren't they? Yeah.
And if you get charged, they're still going to evaporate. So being long-based, it's really hard to find a charged target. Because mm-hmm. if they're short-based, you can kind of go in the front. Long-based, you end up engaging as much infantry as your... If you engage with 3 stands are coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. of... Yeah.
That's right.
You just can't get in.
So now the greater demon, Barry's favorite thing on the list. So it's a monster, 8 attacks, 6 hits, 4 up armor, just a single stand, 300 points, minimum nothing, maximum one. Great demons. Great demons can fly, regardless of whether the actual model has wings. Aerial propulsion is deemed feasible by sheer effort of will. Great demons can cause terror in their enemies. A great demon that has accumulated 4 to 5 hits at the end of the shooting or combat phase and is no longer engaged in combat is deemed to have been badly hurt. Once a great demon is badly hurt, accumulated hits are discounted and its hits and attacks are halved for the rest of the battle to 3 hits and 4 attacks. So that is a little change there because Revolution changed the badly hurt to be over half wounds because it used to be 3 wounds for this case. So that's good. But I mean, they are fantastic models normally, but do you get 300 points worth of work out of them?
You wouldn't want to be able to because it would break the game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Go on. Give me your opinions, Barry, on a great demon. Well,
let's have a look. How many are you allowed? Two.
Two.
So say they were good in the same way, say High Elf Dragon Riders were good. Then you're putting a third of your army into two models that have to be good enough to earn back their points. They're going to win you the game on their own, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can fly anywhere. They're on a single short base. They're putting out 10 attacks on a single short base with terror.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
What's going to stand up to those?
If you look at not much.
If you look at, like, what's the big lizardman one?
Stegadon.
He's on an enormous base. And three he only bases. Does... Yeah. He only does 2 extra attacks on this.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
An enormous base. He's like a 60 by 40 base or something.
Yeah, that's right. 3 bases stuck together.
And he's a monster, so he moves 20, not 100. Yep. Yep. Or 60. If
yeah, this guy, because this guy, yeah, flies out, charges 60. Yeah, like...
Well, he's supposed to charge 100 in the real game.
Yeah.
But, exactly. I mean, how do you balance it?
Yeah, it's a bit... He's a bit strong. He could be.
So you can't balance it, so you say it's a fluff thing. If you want to use it, use it. But I'd use it as an upgrade for a character model.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't try and use it as a greater demon. In the same way, do you know, I think this is points costed now identically to a Dragon Rider, even though Dragon Rider's got shooting attacks as well.
Could be. Yep. Do Dragon Riders have 8 attacks? Do they have 6 attacks?
I've never really. I would have thought it's 8, but who knows?
Well, we can find out in a moment. Here we come.
You have a look. I was going to look. That's why I was playing with my screen. I was going to look at Dragon
Rider. A Dragon Rider is 6 attacks and 3 shooting attacks.
So it's 6-6-4 plus.
Oh, 6-3-6-4 plus.
6-3? Oh, yeah, shooting.
Shooting.
Oh, it's a similar deal then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Similar deal. Similar. A bit better defense. Oh, no, it's similar defensively, really. Just one extra defense. Yeah, whatever.
But also it adds those... Yeah, that's right. Mm. Anyway, right. There you go. Obviously, I don't think we can recommend taking a greater demon.
Well, I wouldn't want the game to be able to recommend taking a greater demon. Because then what game are you playing? You're playing Hero Hammer now.
Hero Hammer then, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so... And that's better to have them... Too expensive than undercosted, definitely.
I mean, it wouldn't bother me if they just fell out of the list in the same way as Dragon Riders. You could still use them in the list as mounts.
Yeah.
Just get rid of them out of the list because they're meaningless.
Yeah.
What's the point in an entry that you can't even use and you're meant to not be able to use? It actually says in the book, we've made these rubbish.
Yeah, we made these rubbish. Yeah. So you won't use them.
Even though we've reduced them in price from 350 to 300, they're still rubbish.
Still rubbish. Yeah. Okay, so then we go on to the character selection. So your demonic overlord is a general with 2 attacks, 9 command, 125 points, and he has a rule 4, demon overlord. The demon overlord is the army's general and has the option of having the powers of a wizard for additional 25 points, which you would do.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, if given magical powers, the demon overlord can be given a magic item restricted to either a general or a wizard. And note that the demon overlord is still a general and his command range extends over the whole battlefield as for other generals.
What a man. What a guy.
What a guy. Ace Rimmer. So, yes, he's 125 points, but really he's 150 because you're always going to make him a wizard.
In the same way, I think it's the same for vampire counts, isn't it? You're just going
to... Well, no, vampire counts, they have to be wizards. Yeah.
No, they don't, do they?
Yeah, they're automatically wizards.
Oh, well, maybe they're 150 points. Then. Anyway, so why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
You would.
I also, the now, This is where something we should have changed, but I didn't get round to suggesting it. So the second entry is a demon lord hero. The name is wrong, Barry. It should be a demon hero. Or a, you know, is in the, you know, the name of the
character. Oh, don't get into it. You're right. Of course it should be right. But now we're going to vote just to change this.
Yeah, I know.
I just get a big pen and go scribble it out. He's a demon hero.
Yeah, it's
a
demon hero next to him. Yeah, yeah. But he shouldn't have the word lord in his title, should he? His troop choice. Shouldn't be demon lord hero.
Well, I'm not into. Maybe that's what they're called. Maybe that's the equivalent of captain. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's confusing, isn't it? Anyway, a demon lord hero is a hero, not a lord. You know, like with plus one attack, it's got eight command. He's the 80 points character.
Man, but he's called an overlord, the general. He's over the lords.
Over the lords. Yeah. All right, whatever. You know, then your demon sorcerer is a wizard, a plus one attack for command eight wizards. That's 90 points.
Nice.
And there's two additions in there. Demonic wings for 10 points, which, you know, demonic wings basically gives the character ability to fly. That's it. And favor of the gods is a special bonus, plus one attack, 50 points. And this gives demon overlord, lords, or sorcerers can be given the favor of the gods. The character gains a plus one extra attack and causes terror in the enemies as described in the Warmaster rulebook. So if Barry was going to represent his demon overlord with the favor of the gods,
it would be a demon lord hero or a sorcerer.
But a greater demon is a good way to represent it.
Yes. Now then, Paul, you know that I'm one for, what's the word? Standardization.
Yes.
So the favor of the gods upgrade looks very similar to me to the black coach upgrade.
Giving you terror and plus one attack? Yes, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the black coach upgrade is 40 points.
We shall consult the oracle.
But, I mean, lots of these things exist in lots of lists, as we've discussed at great length recently. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure it's 40 points because I can smell it in my bones. Yes, it is.
You're right.
And I'm pretty sure...
And
it probably flies as well.
Difference. So go a black on. Coach is a chariot mount.
Right, there you go. Well, it...
Yeah.
So the unit that it's in couldn't cross that linear barrier...
A vampire lord or vampire can be mounted in a black coach, adding plus one. The occupant's attacks. A unit joined by a character riding the black coach causes terror. Same rules, but it's a chariot mount. So that means...
So that's a negative, is it now?
A chariot on a character can't go in scenery. So
what scenery?
Well, woods, that kind of thing.
Well, what about... They can't. If you gave it wings, it couldn't go in the woods.
Favor of the gods...
Because it's got flying, and then flying you can't go in the woods.
Yes, that's right. You can go. I think so. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So the only difference again would be potentially around linear obstacles of whether if he joined a unit and it went into.
Hang on, it's a character. It wouldn't matter. But
why? He's on a chariot. He can't go across the linear obstacle. He'd have to jump out.
Oh, okay. So if the unit pursues over a linear obstacle,
or charged over a linear obstacle, he'd get thrown out.
No, but he's a character. He joins after the unit's moved.
Oh, there you go. There you go. He somehow manages to skip over.
Yeah.
The linear obstacle.
No, he just goes at it at such speed that he busts his way through it.
Anyway, so there you go. It's a different mount, but there we go. Mount. We found a little bit of wiggle room. It's a chariot, so I get £10 cheaper.
So tables need more linear obstacles is what we're finding out in this.
Well, amongst other things. Right,
is that the list?
What do we want to talk about next?
We go to the spells.
Spells, so we get the spells up. I shouldn't really be using this. I should be using the book because there will be errors in here. It is what it is.
So demonic spells: summon demons, 4+ to cast, range 60. With a sulfurous blast of elemental power, fresh demons emerge from reinforce their beleaguered kindred. The spell can be cast on any friendly demon unit of 3 stands that has lost 1 or 2 stands as casualties. It does not matter whether the wizard can see the unit or not. The unit regains 1 stand. The regained stand is placed in formation with the rest of the unit, and if the unit is already in combat, with the additional stand can be placed so that it touches the enemy and will count as charging if the unit charged. If it is impossible to position the stand in formation within its unit, the spell cannot be cast and will not work. So that is key. That is the spell deck. That is what you're casting.
But you don't get as many opportunities to use it as you think you would.
No.
Because
demonic instability happens first, like in a turn.
So if I've charged something, I haven't taken any damage yet, so I can't summon demons because there's no damage.
Yep.
Then I do my fighting.
Yep.
Then you do your turn and your fighting. So that's potentially four rounds of combat.
Yep. Before you get,
and then an instability test.
And instability.
And then I might get... So it actually works better when you're charged and you take your slap in, and then you have your instability.
Two rounds of combat, one instability check.
Then you can maybe get back.
Then you can get him back. But it's a very strong spell. Four plus the cast to get another stand of stuff back is great. And if you're, it's great. So basically in a demon list, when your stands have taken one casualty, you want them to, you know, not be engaged anymore, hold, you know, break off from fighting and wait to be summoned again and not roll badly on instability.
Obviously, some stuff costs more than others. I wouldn't resurrect a spawn unless there was nothing else to
only if that's your only choice. Yeah.
But if you resurrect beasts or cavalry or something.
Exactly.
Olé, olé! Yeah,
growing more beast is fantastic. And obviously...
Especially as you take it out of the dead pile to put it back on the table.
And remember that with half breaks of Warmaster Revolution, so single stands causing half a break, if you can cast it on, take a single stand, you've got it two stands, you've increased your break, you've taken that break off you again.
Yeah.
But you've readjusted your break.
Now remember, kids, that you can only cast this once successfully per unit per turn.
Yep. You can't have two.
So no growing back two stands.
Nope.
No growing back. And the other thing is, this isn't as good as Raise Dead.
No, it's not.
No. No, it isn't.
It's not. Yeah, Raise Dead is amazing. Raise Dead is game is amazing.
Amaze balls. Right, Demonic Rage.
Demonic Rage. 5 plus the cast, range 30. A keening cry of pure power rises upon demonic lips as magical energy surges through their elindric bodies. Single affects every enemy unit in range, so it's an area effect. Spell lasts until the following combat phase. Every unit with bonus gets a +1 attack. The attack can be directed to any stand in the unit and is allocated to a different stand and can be allocated to a different stand in each combat round. So it's an area buff, +1 attack. Probably worth casting if you can affect three things.
It's exactly the same as the high elf one that I generally don't bother casting unless
you
I've got nothing
have,
else to do.
You need
do.
To have three options, really, don't you? Yeah, like to make it worthwhile.
You want a spell should be a minimum of three attacks, shouldn't it? So if it's not even generating three attacks, it's kind of you might as well just use a shooting spell.
Well, I mean that actually could. That doesn't have to be a rule of the game. That just should be a rule of players, shouldn't it? So Sorcerer's Blast, 5 up to cast, range 30. A single gesture of bolt of black lightning leaps from the fingertip of the foe, searing the enemy with a blast of dark power. This is your standard three shooting attacks with no armor save. And yeah, so there you go. There's no other shooting in the army. So it's you can be driven back by damage from this, but it's never going to be in conjunction with other shooting in the army to ping off a stand yet.
You can, if you're lucky, you can ping off a artillery piece. It's only got two wounds.
If you're lucky, and or I mean, you know, it's the thing to cast when you can't in this list when you can't cast something else, and maybe you're hoping for the confusion you'll get off that, et cetera, et cetera. So Frenzy of Chaos, 6 up to cast, range 30. Rumbling, thunderous power surges through the demonic ranks, driving all into a frenzy of thirst for blood. The spell can be cast upon a friendly unit when it's engaged in combat. As within range, the spell does not have to be able to see this target. It lasts until the end of the following combat phase, so that turn. The unit can reroll any failed attacks in combat. Take any dice that fail to score hits and roll them again. Note that you cannot reroll a dice that has already been rerolled, either because of a spell, magic item, or any other reason. And that's for the combat phase. So if there's two rounds of combat, you can do it twice.
So that means if you've got a one of those swords that lets you reroll, if you've missed an attack, you can't do it.
Yes,
you can't use it.
No, you can't use that. So you couldn't use that with this. But rerolling all your failed misses is really strong. Yeah.
Except it's a 6-up.
Yeah, and there's a reason that's a 6-up spell.
And that means that I'd have to take a ring of magic to have any
chance
of casting.
Would you take a ring of magic?
No chance.
I don't see it as a ring of magic spell deck, is it?
No. No. Dispel scroll was all I take here. And maybe something that either boosts your chance of casting summoning, so there's summon demons on a 3+, or if you get one summon demon off, can do it again. So like a repetition thing. So no ring of magic to me. It's too expensive for what it's going to give out of this list.
Fair enough. So we are on to builds, I think.
Oh, very nice. Have you got your build to share? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's do yours first, and then I'll do mine.
Oh, okay. As in on the screen?
You want me to type it up?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, that's preparation enough.
Shut up. I've written it.
Selector. My selector. Okay.
Right, so 6 units of demonic hordes.
That's the minimum.
3 swarms. 2 cavalry. 2 demon hounds. 4 demon chariots. 2 demon flyers. A demon overlord who's also a wizard. So he's a wizard. A demon lord hero who's got demonic wings, a favor of the gods, and a sword of fate.
Two sorcerers. No toys.
No, that's
Can't afford the toys.
So I get a breakpoint 10 out of that.
Nice. It's difficult to argue about anything here. If you imagine the hounds were cheaper, that would give you some space for some more toys, maybe. It kind of builds itself, doesn't it, the demon list?
Kinda, yeah. I mean, so now in terms of the models I've got, so from your Kickstarter, I backed I got 6 unit stands of demon hordes, but I really like the models of the demon infantry that GW did as well. So I've kept a brigade, a single stand of each god of that. So I'm either going to, models wise, if it's either going to be your Kickstarter, your range, or a brigade of GW models in there for like
a mixed god brigade.
Yeah, I really nice. I really like the look of the demon of the infantry models. They just really worked for me, especially even, you know, of those ones, the blood letters look fantastic, I think. Anyway, so that's on the day. How do I want to represent my demons? So about 6 units of hordes, 3 swarms. Now I would pair them up as 2s and 1s. So 2 units of hordes and 1 swarm. And
that all in line, I guess, all in line.
In line. And then the swarms are either at the front or the rear, depending on the game state. They're across the table. I would have the demon cavalry together, or I might put the demon cavalry with the chariots, a stand of cavalry and 2 chariots, because demon cavalry can take charges better marginally than chariots can. So that probably there might be a demon cavalry unit to protect the chariots, and then the hounds are by themselves, and so that gives me 1, 2, 3 mounted brigades, or maybe 4 if I want to keep them mono. Then the flyers, 2 demons flyers, because flyers are really useful and they're gonna find a place in this. Then my demon overlord's got to be a wizard, and I have a combat character in there, as best I can. And that you've got to always max out with the magic, so you've got to have the sorcerers as well. And it builds itself.
In the first version, I think you were allowed 2 sorcerers per 1,000, and I think I had a 5 wizard build.
Oh yeah, that's too strong. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. Yeah. It was pretty nuts.
That was too good. Too good.
Right. Let me get my list open. Right. So stop sharing. So, I think one interesting thing to do, if you got rid of the demon overlord, which wouldn't hurt the list because you could still use him, as you said, as a that's the wrong bloody list. You could still use him.
I've got your list here, Barry, if you want me to tell you.
I'm doing it. I pulled up the bloody Beastman list again. So if you did, got rid of the Demon Overlord and used him as a character upgrade.
Yeah.
Then potentially you could find another way to have a second. Oh, you're going to have to tell me. I can't find it.
Yep.
A third infantry. Because I find the infantry a bit underwhelming.
So what would the extra infantry be?
I don't know. Is there not another type of infantry in Demons that is slightly bigger than, like, or is it all literally just Horde in the fluff?
Hang on. There's okay, in Warhammer, There was swarms of demons, Nurglings.
Yeah.
There was your foot troops of demons, the four, you know,
the horde,
the hordes. There was demons. Oh, there was like light cavalry demons and riding blood crusher kind of demons. You know, so there was monstrous cavalry and.
So maybe
cavalry.
There weren't any bigger ones then.
I'm just thinking. No, there wasn't. There wasn't. There wasn't like an ogre-sized demon infantry model.
Well, it's I wouldn't change anything then, apart from making the cavalry, the hounds, a bit less like the bloody everything else.
But, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Come on then. What did I do?
You said did 16 units of demon hordes.
Two swarms. Must be
6 chariots.
Cheesy bastard.
1 beasts. 2 flyers.
Oh, 1 beast. I must have gone mad.
Yep. 2 beasts. So 2 flies. Then a demon overlord who's a wizard with a scroll of dispelling, because you can't leave home without it.
And also put it on this guy, because he's less likely to die. Because if he dies, I've lost anyway.
Yep. Then a demon lord hero who's the favor of the gods with a sword of might.
No wings. Couldn't even afford the wings.
And then 2 sorcerers with a wand of power and a wand of repetition. So the wand of power is +1 to cast, and the wand of repetition will allow you to have another spell.
So I'm just trying to maximize the chances of getting off the old raise stand.
What with the wand of repetition? How is it going to help you there then?
I think the range is reasonable. So say you've got 2 units dinged up.
So you cast the same spell twice?
Yeah.
Didn't think of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just cheap. Just anything cheap that buffs that spell. So.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of buffs on these guys, and the spell scroll on the guy that if I lose dies anyway. So
yeah,
fair enough. I lose the game.
So your army, it gives you a breakpoint 9, so 1 less than me. How do you run it? How do you build it?
Well, the infantry build themselves. So 3 hoarding column with the swarming line on the front.
Yep.
2 lots of 3 chariots, or 3 lots of 2 chariots.
Yep.
Obviously, now dreading the day where the world's full of linear obstacles.
Yeah. Defeated by walls. Damn it.
Damn those walls. I've been printing a lot of walls. So I'll talk about that in another thing. Damn it. We got 2 flyers because, why not? And then I took a beast.
Yeah,
I took a beast because, in the same way that I didn't want to fight Phil's beast, nobody wants to fight these fellas.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of points. I could take 2. If I was playing really seriously and not being a cheesemonger, you'd probably drop the beasts out when you take 2 cavalry.
Realistically.
It's 1 less break than you.
Doesn't improve your break. Yeah. So I don't know. Overall,
less break than you, because you managed to get 2 more.
But you don't. So you by that change, you haven't made your break 1 higher.
No, I've dropped out. So that's if I was being a bit cheesier, that's probably where I'd go, I guess.
I think because it doesn't affect your break, I think in your build, take the beasts. Yeah.
Nobody wants to fight them. Yeah. Nobody wants to. And if you get the charge, they're going to give some hurt out.
Yeah. I mean, 21 attacks, say, because it's in the open.
Boom.
I mean, what lives through 21 attacks?
So I know.
Not in 2 rounds of combat, it doesn't. you explode anything on 1 round of combat sometimes.
And I tell you, the day they charge you and you have a good old dust up, because you're giving 15 attacks.
Yeah.
So you you raise them back up and take them out of the Deadpool and put them back on.
But also, when you charge them, you also got Frenzy of Chaos off on them, so they're going to re-roll their misses. Yeah.
In Christmas land. Anyway,
21 attacks, re-rolling misses. So say 10 miss, which you re-roll, and another 5 hit. So you'll have landed like
15
hits on somebody.
Bang. Right. So anyway, that's that fella done. So then we stop sharing that.
Yep.
So I think that was quite tame for me, that one. I think I could have got a lot heavier on the demon infantry.
Yeah. I mean, our lists were quite similar, I think, overall. Quite similar.
That's because I think something we have to be honest about is in the tournaments that you ran, and I ran to some degree, we were, for one reason or other, quite tight on the amount of terrain we used. We had a specific terrain package.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, I perfectly created that, yeah.
Yeah, so you're the, I'm going to blame you now. So
all right, okay.
You created a meta that forced more and more builds to skew towards cavalry in our meta, not okay. in the European meta, because the less places for infantry to hide,
I mean,
the less good infantry are.
I will admit that definitely, like the whole, like, yeah, I'm not catering for the linear obstacle rule, definitely. Like, okay, so test and adjust. Then, okay, I've got to think now, like, okay, so if your standard table is three hills, three woods, what, and three linear obstacles? Or no, two linear obstacles?
No, it was three, and you had some impassable as well.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. So the standard layout of a table is always at least three hills and three woods.
And some and impassable.
And then something else. That was basically it was. It was like, unique pieces. So it should be three hills, three woods, and three linear obstacles?
And three impassable. I think you need to go 12 minimum.
Right, okay.
Minimum.
That's strong. All right, increased scenery, yeah. Minimum. I mean, so something I'm getting Nick to do is because I've said, like, oh, I've decided that I'm not going to paint scenery.
You announced it last week. So is he coming with an offer?
Yeah,
is he?
Yeah, he's coming with an offer. Yeah.
Good for him. Good for him.
So,
I think he's furloughed at the moment. So he's.
Oh, is he really?
Or like waiting between jobs. So his wife's got him building kitchens and stuff.
Oh, okay. So I've said to him. So he's offered. And yeah, he's going to basically. I've given his brief is. Do you know Paul Godbold's table? Do you remember the really beautiful one that had laminated pictures underneath it? Of
I'm
the
not
scenery?
Sure. I didn't go to that one. It was in something, wasn't
so
it?
So the man who would be king has designed this, done this table, which is beautiful to look at. It's just lovely scenery pieces, and underneath it, he's got this really original idea of a one-for-one photo that he's then laminated, and it sits on top of the scenery. No, the scenery sits on top of it. So if you need to use the scenery and it's harder than you can show, you just take the scenery off and you put the stands onto the laminated bit of paper.
So it's got 2D.
Yes. Yeah,
but it's not mouse match. So
it's 3D scenery on 2D scenery.
The copy of the 2D, yeah, 3D yeah. and 2D. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's yeah. I'd prefer to play on 2D a lot.
Yeah, you would. Well, you said you would. So it's there 3D for looking nice, but then when you actually need to use that scenery in a complicated way, it goes to 2D because it's just as practical. You know, so that, and I've basically sent him the pictures that are like, copy that, please. You know, like, and I've got some scenery down here for him to have as well. Like, he had to build into this stuff and like, just, yeah, let him crack on with it.
One of the worst bits about Tabletop Simulator is that...
shit scenery.
The scenery's good. It looks brilliant, but it's completely impractical for the game.
Yeah.
Nothing will fucking stand still. Nothing will sit straight. Everything's falling down. You can't... Yeah, it needs to be 2D. You're playing on a computer. The fucking terrain needs to be 2D. Just look top down. Why is it all 3D? Why am I trying to navigate past the branches of trees and stuff?
Oh, hang on. Oh, okay. So, it seems you're saying it's a 3D scenery on a game.
Yeah. You're having to navigate around 3D scenery. So you put it on a hill, they all slide down the hill. You've got to look at, I have this in real life. I don't need this on a computer screen.
How annoying.
It is annoying. Nothing will stand still. So I think I'm going to ask, actually, if anybody can make some 2D scenery. 2D. It must be easy. Just take a copy of the 3D and flatten it.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it.
I mean, if with regards to my real world problems,
have any real world problems
in my world. So if Nick takes the stuff away and does it well, I'm sure he will, you know, because he'll do it, then he can do other tables for me as well. And that's, so I'm basically,
when you're telling Hannah to move out so you can take over the whole house with your room.
Yeah, she went up there in the loft today.
To sort out a
leak. And I was like,
you were sorting out the leak. That's a bad move. You've got to sort out the leak. So don't go to the loft, love. I'll sort it out.
I had the kids. I had to do the Tesco run with the kids. So my wife was up there, up to her knee, her arms, like sorting out the physical labour.
And she saw the hoard.
Yeah.
That's not good. I had to build a garage loft. So everything's in the garage loft.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's cool. It's like that. And then, because basically I have not found on eBay a regular designer of 10 mil scenery. I found some people that have done some nice stuff, but not someone that's doing like consistently things. So over to you, Nick.
whole tables. Right, good stuff. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to talk about next? We need to talk about tier level, and we need to talk about how you find the army overall.
I mean, it's good. Demons are good.
Are they?
Yes, I think they're good. I think they're not the best.
Were you very successful in your games with demons?
Me?
You never won a game, fella.
That doesn't mean that they're bad. You know, like, no, I think that. What do you say? I say demons are good.
I think they're a little bit monotonous in that their strengths are very easy to spot. So the sweet spots in the list are easy to spot.
They have a unique sub game of the instability. Like, I quite like, I mean, when I was playing them, I quite enjoyed, okay, now it's instability and we'll see what happens with these units. So that one's good. That one's not existing anymore. And that one's buggered.
That we can't talk about stuff that's happening in the other place in the rules committee until it's finished. So we can't,
but it has finished.
No, there's some stuff it's in there about instability table.
But the votes are closed.
No. The proposal window. Oh,
we can't talk about it.
Yeah, but it's annoying because there is one really, really clever solution that hopefully we'll get taken on. We'll be able to talk about it with regard to demons.
Tier two is the answer.
Yeah. They're not tier one. They're certainly not tier three. No. Only leaves tier two.
We really, really need to change. We need to do an episode where it's just the tier episode and we go around and we invent, we have a better tier system and we sort out this into a better tier system.
It's funny. I've been leaving the worst ones to the end, the hardest ones. So we just did Beastmen, who were, difficult to say the least. You know what's left?
What? Wood Elves?
Well, obviously, last. They're getting last.
Right.
Chaos Dwarf. Oh, my God.
Chaos Dwarf.
The problem is they came to the party so late. Beastmen, Chaos Dwarf. I'm not sure demons were in that. I think they were
What did Jim call them? The
Needy Nine.
The Needy Nine.
It's like Beastmen. I don't know. Chaos Dwarf. I just like... Wood Elves, he's like, I don't know. Nippon Cafe, he's like, help.
Help.
Norse. I mean, Norse, if you take away Huskarls, what are Norse even? Why would I even play them? It's so hard. And I think it's a little bit similar with the demons in that the infantry are so good that you've got to take the infantry. And then the chariots are in such a sweet spot that you end up taking the chariots and then...
Yeah, yeah.
And your cavalry... And it's just like... You can see by... Normally, we're quite divergent in list building.
Yeah.
But even our lists weren't...
Yeah.
Dynamite totally different.
Like, as in... When I look at the... As in... I can't honestly... Having tried Greater Demons, I can't honestly present a list on this which has got Greater Demons in it. It's just because it's like, because you ain't going to win.
break's going to be tiny and you're going to lose.
You're just going to lose, mate. Yeah, because something will hit that Greater Demon and then it will be wounded.
Or you just won't get to do enough.
Yeah, it won't earn its points back. And then you're right. And then you could put 10 units of infantry down, for example. So that's what I've got. That's what I've painted up is 10 units of demon infantry. That is a build to go 10 units of infantry. But that's really the only other build there is.
Yeah. It's funny. The list I wrote here isn't the list that you're painting for me either.
Is it not?
No, I think I've made sure there's something of everything in the other list.
Yeah, yeah. That is a project. I mean, as I soon finish the Napoleonic's. That's on the table to be done. I'll exchange that for this, sir. Yeah, like,
get up! Oh, man.
you want some of these? You want some of these?
Once lockdown ends, stick them in the doorway.
I will. Anyway, you want 20, don't you? Yeah,
20, motherfucker. Yep. So, that's it for this today. I don't know when the next one will be. We've only got. We're not doing an army list because we've got. Oh no, I know when it'll probably be John. From Comedy Forge, just doing the Kickstarter.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Hopefully he can record on a day where I'm free as well. So that'd be great. Yeah, fair. But if not, record with just you and him.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, and we'll just do a small episode. Because we'll see what we can do. He's
been introduced. He's like, he's come to promote his new thing. And it's cool to hear that us talking about a subject gets it attention. I was really, with the guy came on to talk about his Dark Elves. Like, He got backing.
Leo.
He got backing by us talking. Yeah, that's good. Doing the episode. It was great. It's like, it's really cool. It's like, oh, people actually listen. And then it allowed them to then look at this thing while it was still live, back it, and that helped push it over the edge.
Good,
like,
for Leon.
And it's like, yeah, great.
He did some tremendous work. Well done, him.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So, right. So, and then we got Chris. He's going to come on and talk about the voting when that's finished. That'll be end of the month.
I mean, all we'll say about the voting is that there's loads of changes. I was worried.
They're all minor.
But I was worried that there wouldn't be anything. You know, but actually, there's loads. And yes, I wouldn't say loads.
Listen, some of it is so like changing the name of a unit to a different name because it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff's all great, but it doesn't get my juices flowing.
but you.
Like changing the Demon Overlord to a. What did you want to change? Lord Hero to a Hero?
To a Hero, yeah.
Well, great. Yeah, okay. Well, let's vote on that next year.
Next year. But what would you have wanted then?
No, that's fine. But there's like admin to each vote. And I was saying, do you really want to go through all this admin to change this guy in a list that is... Anyway, we're not going to talk about that too much because we're not allowed to. It's confidential. Yeah, no.
But also we have our various roles on the committee. Your role is to, you know, is to be the EU, isn't it? Is to like, Jesus, yes, I'm Michelle Barney or whatever. I just like run this thing. Can't get involved myself. And then my job is to suggest things which are far too risque for the Conservatives to vote on. But thus, by me drawing attention to that...
Oh, here we go. You know,
it allows all the other stuff to get through, doesn't it?
You can talk about your craziness another time. So.
Yeah. But so. See, that is... That's my role.
If I say I'm building a cheese rocket to destroy the moon, then maybe we can slip through something else.
Yeah, exactly. That's my role. That's my job.
That's your job. Fucking.
I know my role and I do it very well.
Havoc. Anyway, so this was episode 155 of War Master Podcast. Yes, Facebook page, warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yes, indeed.
Next couple of episodes are going to be on the Rules Committee and also on Forge's Kickstarter.
We've got some good content then. Awesome.
And then we've got Chaos Dwarf and Wood Elves.
Yeah.
Later in the year.
Yeah. You'll enjoy the Wood Elf one, won't you, Barry?
I won't. I'm telling you now.
You're about making want to do it, yeah.
You're going to do it. Anyway, enjoy yourself, Paul.
Enjoy. See you later.
Keep saving lives.
Yeah, cool.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet-ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man. I'm jonesing.
Good to jibber-jabber, fool. And get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.